The Loot Trek Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Did you know the Tech Podcast Network was home of the best tech podcasts like Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show at MikeTechShow.com and Byron Brown, the Byron Brown Tech and Stuff, the Blur Binary, and now the Road of I and We with co-host Benjamin Strong. Please check them out at bbtas.com and tell them the Loot Truck Show sent you. Why? Because he loves you.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
I'm your resident Ferengi coming to you live from the FCA. Liquidator Lou Costanzo.
Welcome to the Loot Truck Show.
Tonight's show is brought to you by MyQualityGifts.com. If you're looking for a quality gift for that special person or things you want but you really don't need, MyQualityGifts.com is a website for you. Visit MyQualityGifts.com. Once again, that's MyQualityGifts.com. And tell them the Loot Trek Show sent you. You're listening to show number 89 for Thursday, February 24, 2011. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Loot Trek Show. I'm your host, Luke. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main website is www.loottrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments at loottrekshow@gmail.com. You could follow us on Twitter and Facebook by going to loottrekshow.com/social. And there you'll find all the links to contact the show and follow it. And as you probably have gathered, you did not hear the kapla from Chrono, so therefore Brian is not going to be on the show today. I'm not sure where he is, but we are recording this a day late because he wasn't available yesterday, so here we are again. And so we will go ahead and do what we normally do, which is put off the topic and fly solo. And generally when that happens, I just pick a season of Star Trek of something or episode commentary and I tell you all about it. But first, before I get to that, you may have detected a couple things in that intro. One was, you're probably wondering, did Lou sell out to the corporate master? No, Lou did not. A friend of mine, Bob Hansen, who I've worked with in the past, and is a good friend of mine, he's the one that was on a few weeks ago and reminded me of the bar full of pepper spray. He is starting his new venture that I hope is going to be successful for him, and it's called MyQualityGifts.com. It's just little things that you might get for somebody, little knickknacks. And I was even looking at a few things for my daughter, so thanks, Bob. I'm a stuffaholic, so this is exactly what I needed. Another thing you may have or may not have noticed on our main website, it says support the show. And again, no, I have not bowed to the corporate master, but when it comes to Amazon.com, their affiliates are, it's pretty cool, actually, if you think about it. These are things that you would buy normally. I don't have to do an advertisement for Amazon. So really, go there, don't go there. It doesn't matter to me. But if you do, go to LootTrekShow.com. And there will be a link to Amazon, and whatever you make a purchase of, the show could get about anywhere between 2% to 6%, depending on what it is. So as you can tell, it's really not a big deal. Now, if you want to go buy 25 Kindles, that might mean something to the show. But again, you're not going to get a discount, you're not going to add any more to your price, but Amazon might thank the Loot Trek Show by sending us a few bucks here and there. It's definitely not something that I'm going to make a living off of. In fact, I seriously doubt I'll even have to include this on my next year's taxes. It just, okay, IRS, I will, but it won't be enough that I'll get a 1099. I guarantee you that. So don't worry about that. Just, it sends a few cents our way, and maybe we get enough to pay the next year's bandwidth, but I doubt that too. Another thing you may have heard on this intro was the cowbell, and if you're like me, you're wondering, what the heck is this cowbell about? I don't know, to be honest with you. I got it from Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show. during one of his last shows, he was playing music with cowbell in it. And for some reason, there are websites that talk about more cowbell. They want more cowbell music. So there's one with classic rock with cowbell. I don't get it personally, but if somebody wants to explain it to me, please do, because maybe it would make more sense if somebody helps me understand what it's about. But, go ahead. So, what we have today, I went through the simplified show list, and so far we haven't done a commentary of Season 3 of Voyager. And you may wonder, Lou, how come you don't do commentaries of the original series? And the truth is I did yesterday when Brian wasn't on. I thought I'd give it a shot. It was not a very successful shot. And I don't understand why. I used to know Star Trek, the original series, like the back of my hand. But for some reason, when I started pulling up the trailer, it just wasn't clicking with me. So I said, no, I just can't do Star Trek unless I actually go through the whole series and watch it again. But sometimes that's painful. We all love Star Trek. You know, it's kind of like, if you remember an old 70s television show called Alice. It was about Mel's Diner in Phoenix, Arizona. And Alice just was passing through town when her car got broke down. And she ended up staying there. And she got a job at Mel's Diner. Everybody always made jokes about Mel's Diner. You know, the food was terrible. But yet, they all went back. Right? They all kept going there. Well, the same could be said about Star Trek, the original series. It's terrible. It's hokey. Spock's brain was dismal. But yet, you still watch it. I mean, like Captain Christopher on, I believe it was Tomorrow is Yesterday. But, you know, I like some of those episodes, but I'm having a hard time really recalling them right now. So let me go through the series, watch it. I'll force myself, and then I'll do a commentary on a particular season. So for now, let's go ahead and delve into Star Trek Voyager. And Season 2 left us with Basics Part 1, which it proves the old mantra that anybody, anytime, anywhere can take over a Federation starship. You know, there's 147 crew members on board, but for some reason, they just don't know how to defend the ship. They can't keep people out of force fields. They can't keep people from taking over the transporter room. They can't get people to just leave them alone. All they want to do is fly home. But, of course, Seska lulls Chakotay and crew in because of the new baby, which even turned out not to be his at all. But, you know, they take over the ship rather easily. And the Kazon, who were obviously on this show way too long, so the ship is commandeered by the Kazon, but of course it's taken back by two renegades, one being the Doctor, and the other being Mr. Suter, who ends up dying in this episode. But if you don't recall Mr. Suter, he was the one who just went psycho murder on people for no apparent reason because he didn't like the way he looked at them. And can you imagine a 24th century serial killer? I can't. I mean, I thought, whatever happened to, we got into the seeds of crime, and it's no longer an issue. Well, Mr. Suter was Bajoran, so maybe, you know, Bajorans still have a problem which they haven't quite gotten over. I don't know. But let's go ahead and listen to the trailer for Episode 1, Basics Part 2.
Helpless.
Captain!
In an untamed world.
I will not let this planet destroy my crew.
Defenseless.
Voyager has been taken by the Kazon Nistrum.
Against a ruthless empire.
Lay in a pursuit course.
I'm a dead duck.
It's a battle to take back their ship.
Fire!
It's their greatest test of survival.
Go! Go!
Star Trek Voyager.
that lizard monster was terrifying. I will say that. I mean, the thing came out. It kind of reminded you of the original series of the monsters that would come and just eat somebody. And that's exactly what it did. I think it killed at least two crew members, if I remember. And then they end up on this planet with, oddly enough, aliens that resemble Native Americans. So I was thinking, Chakotay was rather happy. Ooh, Cuchimoya! You know, I got some people to hang with! I'm sorry, that was my Chicano sound, and that didn't sound right at all. But, anyway, and of course, you know, when two enemies have to work together to solve a common problem, they become friends. Darmok and Jalad. So, that's what that was. And of course, that's where Naomi Wildman was really, really ill. But these native, planet people, because obviously we don't know what they are, they put something on her little chest and she breathed better. Yes, she did. And, of course, in the next season she was 7 years old. But, you know, that's a different story. So, that was Basics Part 2. Next, let's go on to Flashback. And I like this one. This one was really cool. And if you can't figure out why... Oh, man.
To stop a deadly vision.
Help me, Tumor!
To end one man's madness.
Your mind to my mind.
They must go back in time.
My first deep space assignment aboard the Excelsior.
Back with a legend.
Who are you and what are you doing on my ship?
Back into battle.
Who are you fighting?
Klingons.
But can they survive?
My God.
The ultimate flashback on the next Star Trek Voyager.
Shield! Shield!
I can't do George Takei's voice very well. Or else I would have tried. Shields! Shields! Anyway. But Tuvok is having... He looks at a nebula. And says, well, that looks familiar. Bing! All of a sudden, the flashbacks start. He drops this girl off a precipice into the... I don't know, liquid goo or something. But, all of a sudden, he's trying to figure out where in the heck this is coming from. And so, he needs somebody to mind meld with. And who better than the captain? So the captain goes on this little journey into Tuvok's head, and we find out that Tuvok was on the Excelsior at the time that Captain Sulu was attempting a rescue of Captain Kirk and Dr. McCoy in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you remember in Deep Space Nine the episode called Trials and Tribulations when the Defiant goes back in time to Captain Kirk's era? You know, the whole trouble with Tribbles thing. Did you ever find yourself going back to Trouble with Tribbles and looking for Odo or Worf or anyone else from the Defiant, Sisko, when they were in, like, the Barak setting? And you could see the table behind Chekhov in Uhura was empty. But yet on Trials and Tribulations with the Deep Space Nine people, they were sitting there. So the same thing was with Voyager Flashback. You see that Tuvok was on the bridge of the Excelsior. Did you ever go back to Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, and look for Tuvok on the bridge? Huh? Not be honest, did you? I did. At least I can be honest if you can. I did, but it didn't work. He wasn't there. He was never on that ship, so I don't know. You know, it would be funny if, in the way they did Trials and Tribulations, if they could somehow digitally put Tuvok on the bridge during the movie and make it a special release of that movie with Tuvok on the bridge, that would be fascinating. So, all right, and the next one is called The Shoot, Season 3. So now let's go on to the next one. This one is called The Swarm. Okay, no, you didn't hear me just edit out the whole shoot. I didn't like it. But just for tradition, we'll play the preview.
Convicted of a crime they didn't commit.
Nobody ever gets out of prison on Akrotiri.
Imprisoned in a hell they could never survive.
What we have to do is find a way out of this place.
Ravaged by a punishment they can barely endure.
What's happening to me?
For Paris and Kim, the verdict is final.
They'd like us all to kill each other.
From this prison, there is no escape. Ah! On the next Star Trek Voyager.
Well, you gotta admit, if they kill each other, that makes the cost of housing prisoners a lot cheaper, so, you know, you gotta admit that part. But anyway, you know, they end up on this, it starts with the, and they come down the chute to where everybody starts in on them, and it's just a free-for-all. Everyone kills each other off in this, I guess that's the easiest way. There's no security. Why would you need security? You know, they're not going to get out. They're in a space station in the middle of nowhere, so even if they got on the outside of the space station, where are they going to go? Nowhere. So that's how they have to survive until Voyager can rescue them, because Voyager always does rescue them. Again, I didn't really like this episode all that much, but I will tell you one part that I liked, and that was the end. Listen to this exchange.
So, what do you think? Baked potato, big mound of deep-fried onion rings.
Tom.
Maybe some grilled mushrooms.
Tom, listen to me.
I almost killed you. What are you saying? You're the one that kept me alive. I was ready to hit you with the pipe. Don't you remember? You want to know what I remember? Someone saying, this man is my friend. Nobody touches him. I'll remember that for a long time.
Yeah, that I like that part. That was kind of sweet. So that was the shoot. Now can we do the swarm, please? Let me get past the shoot. Shoot. Here we go.
Brace yourself for a swarm of terror.
Who attacked you?
We had no defense. There were thousands of them.
No one can defy them.
If we had a head start, we might be able to outrun them.
No one can escape them.
Captain, they're right on top of us. I can't shake them.
But is it too late?
They are clamping onto our hull.
They're starting to drain our systems.
To fight them. On the next Star Trek Voyager.
You know, these little creatures kind of resembled little tiny Tin Men. If you remember from Star Trek The Next Generation, Tin Man. That's what they kind of remind me of. It's kind of like the odd shape, like a shark or something. But anyway, these beings attach themselves to the hull of Voyager. But in a subplot, now we also have a problem with the Doctor. And they use a holographic image of the Doctor, called Dr. Lewis Zimmerman, as a diagnostic program. And their solution was to expand the Doctor's memory capacity by getting rid of the diagnostic program. I have two problems with that. One is, why would they get rid of their only diagnostic program? If they were so good that they could have solved the problem to begin with, they wouldn't have needed the diagnostic program. But as it stands, they did. Now that they've gotten rid of their diagnostic program, what are they going to use to diagnose the Doctor? They weren't smart enough to do it in the first place. And here's another thing. Why do they need to erase the diagnostic program? Can't they just put it on a hard drive and store it for when they might need it again later? Can't they back it up with carbonite? Can't they figure some... Oh, that's true. There's no carbonite in the 24th century, maybe. Well, there better be, because I want my data then, as if I'll be here. So, that's another thing I didn't like, is why would they just eliminate the Dr. Zimmerman's program when there's a good chance that they're going to need him again? So, but then again, remember later on in the series, Turnabout is fair play, because he goes and saves Dr. Zimmerman, the real Dr. Zimmerman. And let's go on to our next episode, and this one... Well, let's see, we have B'Elanna, who is half Klingon, half human. We have a Vulcan. We've got plenty of Bolians. Chell, I believe was his name. Boy, I wanted to toss that jackass out of an airlock so badly. Anyway, what are we missing? Oh, yeah, well, we had Sisko, who turned out to be a Cardassian. What Alpha Quadrant species are we missing now? How about Ferengi? Well, how do we get them back? So somebody thought, how do we get them back? Well, I don't know. Hey, do you remember those two Ferengi who disappeared in the Delta Quadrant on Star Trek The Next Generation through the Barzan wormhole? What if they were still living in the Delta Quadrant? Wouldn't that be a hoot? Yes, it would. So why not call it False Prophets?
They're not saints.
My friends, the holy sages.
They're sinister.
Well, I certainly don't intend to leave them there to continue exploiting an innocent society.
But to destroy their empire.
We have to out Ferengi. The Ferengi.
One man must go undercover.
You've been recalled.
We're ruined.
And if he's found out...
Wait!
Their plan could go up in flames on the next Star Trek Voyager.
Greed is eternal. Greed is eternal. Now, wasn't that nice? Of course, we had to out Ferengi the Ferengi. And how do you do that? Well, you hit them where it counts. They cornered the market on pure profit. I mean, these people built them this big old palace, and they basically had nothing. And so, they were going to take them with them. Now, Captain Janeway went through all the trouble of beaming them aboard, only to beam them back. Why? Why did it take them coming up and for them to remind Captain Janeway that they're not bound by the Prime Directive? And then she said, "Gosh darn it, you know something? You're absolutely right. You're not bound by the Prime Directive. I've got no choice but to send you back." Shucky ducky. Why? Just take them with them and just set a course back for the Alpha Quadrant. You know, find some, give them a shuttle, whatever. Take them away from there, sublight shuttle at about, say, 1,000 light years away. That way they can't go back. But the problem there becomes then they'll find another culture. So how did they even find about the Song of the Sages? That's a question I've always been curious. That never got answered. How did they even know this planet existed to find about the sages? So then, of course, you trick them back to the Sky of Black. And we'll go on to the next one. Episode number 6, and this one is called Remember. Not like, you know, what Spock did with the Katra thing and Bones, but this one is just called Remember. Remember? We'll see.
Imagine bringing your deepest.
I've been having these dreams. They're very intense.
Darkest.
They are the most sensual dreams I've ever had in my life.
Fantasies to life.
This woman, I feel what she feels.
But when a real live nightmare begins.
I don't think satisfying your curiosity is worth risking brain damage.
Can you wake up? Can you escape?
Alona, can you hear me?
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
No, you know, she can't remember, she can't get awake, because, Ben, this guy who, I don't know, I think he's rather ugly looking, I would say that, takes over B'Elanna's dreams, and boy, they are So then, you know, Chakotay snaps her back by saying, so then we don't need to report this to the captain, right? So anyway... And as it turns out, I believe, if I remember correctly, this whole thing was because they had a group of aliens on board, and one of them just happened to be instilling these memories into B'Elanna, and that's why she remembered this. Now let's go on to number 7, Sacred Ground.
Exploring sacred worlds.
Look at that, it's beautiful.
We'll test a crew's faith.
Help! Somebody!
Reversing an unholy act.
She's been punished by the spirits.
We'll test a captain's soul.
I have a friend who's depending on me. I have to go through the ritual.
Now is a rite of passage, their greatest hope.
She's been poisoned with some unknown toxin.
Or their final sacrifice.
I'm dying.
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
And the waiting room that she sat in for quite a long... Well, actually, it wasn't as long as the other two people. Reminded me of any... pretty much any hospital you might go into. You're just going to have to sit there and wait. and wait and wait and wait and wait. So Cass is exploring and comes across this shrine that she just has to explore. They told her to stay away, I believe. But she doesn't, and she gets zapped by this thing, and now Janeway has to go through the ritual to try and save her. Does it work? Why should I tell you? Let's go on to the next episode, and you might want to sit back for this. Take a seat and relax, because you're going back in time. Every Star Trek series has their time travel episode. They have to. It's mandatory. Makes you wonder, how come they don't use it all the time? Why do they do this? Really, if you think about it, they should go back in time and completely prevent Wolf 359. You know when they're going to invade, you could stop them. Right? Well, time travel is only useful on certain occasions, and, you know, you have to follow the Temporal Prime Directive anyway. So let's go on to episode number 8, Futures End, Part 1.
Against the greatest odds,
get us out of here.
The crew of Voyager is coming back to Earth.
Where are we?
Los Angeles.
There's only one problem.
The year is 1996.
Now, trapped in the past,
they're about to cause a terrible disaster.
Can they stop a deadly adversary from destroying the future?
Human, get down!
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
Was it me, or was Marissa Tomei looking rather perky in that episode? I thought she did. She actually is kind of hot in a way. But anyway, so Captain Braxton, we're gonna see him again later in a future episode. He comes back in time from the 29th century to destroy Voyager, because Voyager destroys the future. How does he know that? Because debris of Voyager's hull was found in the... Wait a second. And this is one of those paradoxes that you have to wonder if why Janeway says, they just give me a headache. Okay. If the universe was destroyed in the 29th century, who was alive to know that there was debris from Voyager involved in it? Or was it just Earth that was destroyed? What was destroyed? How could he have gone back in time if he was destroyed? So, those are questions that we need to answer. Anybody want to take a stab at it? Please do. Captain Braxton goes back in time, and of course, he tries to destroy him. They all go back to 1996. Everyone goes back to the current time. Why? I want to go back to, like, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and way, way, way back. It'd be more interesting. And Tuvok's famous line of, we could have worn our Starfleet uniforms. I doubt anyone would have noticed. So, they go back to 1996 to stop Sterling, because he's now the guy who created barcode readers. He created the internet. Wait just a tick. You're going to tell me that he created the internet and Al Gore didn't? That is such a lie, Star Trek. You know that's a lie. I'm starting to sound like Troy King. I'm angry about it, but I'm not, really. It's Star Trek. We love it anyway. So they have to go back in time, and they find the time ship. Relativity. I think the Relativity was the future episode that Captain Braxton was on, played by a different person, no less. So that was part one. Let's go on to part two. And let's see, did they solve the situation? Are you kidding? Of course they did.
The Voyager crew has landed back home.
How is that possible?
Back in the past.
You came here to steal my time ship.
Now, a 20th century capitalist.
Why do you think I want to go to the future?
To get more technology.
Takes aim at the future.
The entire solar system will be destroyed.
And Earth is running out of time.
We have no other choice. Fire!
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
Did you notice that Sterling was using, I don't know, maybe a Mac computer or something, and was able to tap into Voyager? Now, yes, he may have been using 29th century technology, but he had no idea how to use it. Now, I'm probably going to screw something up. But don't you hate it when people are typing on keyboards on TV, and clearly they're just doing this? Beep. I hate that. And that's what he does. And, of course, because he was doing this... Aha! Wow! This is great! Oh, you're from the 24th century! I had the home field advantage! Remember that? Okay. Now I didn't screw anything up. I can close out Microsoft Word. You ought to see the thing I just created. But anyway... And then it finds out Captain Braxton was now a homeless man in 1996. And it wasn't Voyager after all that destroyed the 29th century. It was his own time ship brought to the 29th century by Sterling, who didn't rephase the correlator or something. And because of that, that destroys the future. So really, Captain Braxton was, you know, destroying the solution by trying to destroy Voyager. Voyager was the solution to this whole thing. So, there you go. Oh goodness, this paradox is giving me a headache right now. Let's go on to the next completely wasted episode. I'm sorry. If you ever really want to know why Kes was written off the ship, here's the reason why. Warlord.
What if a madman controlled you?
He's discovered a way to transfer his own mind into someone else's body.
Your thoughts, your actions, your soul.
I'm fighting him.
Don't let go.
No!
Resist.
I certainly won't surrender to this little girl.
Believe.
The real Kes must still be in there somewhere.
Prevail.
You're getting away!
The next Star Trek Voyager.
Picture this. Kes and about four people are in this room, kind of like a chamber, where they're, you know, doing evil, rotten things. Do I really have to describe this stupid, stupid episode? This could very well be the reason why this was Kes's last year. Why didn't they just kill her off? You know, her and her freak boyfriend, Neelix, you know, dating a two-year-old. Sicko. But anyway, the Q and the Gray. Let's go on to the next one. Episode number 11.
A man used to having his own way.
Why don't you slip into something more comfortable?
A force to be reckoned with.
I've been single for billions of years.
When the most powerful being in the universe...
to us.
...chooses his mate.
You're confident, passionate, beautiful.
And totally uninterested.
Q may have finally met his match.
You're playing hard to get.
I'm impossible to get.
Star Trek Voyager.
And, of course, the jealous girlfriend shows up to challenge Captain Janeway to a duel, which she decides, no, I'm not going to participate in. And instantly, just about as before the episode ends, Q and the girl Q have a baby. And as we know, he comes back in another episode, and just like, he even did better than Naomi Wildman. When he came back in the future episode in about a year or so, he was already 20 years old, or maybe 18, or something like that. So I tell you, the Q grow quickly. The Q and the Gray. He wanted to mate with Captain Janeway. Wait a minute, you know, what is it wrong with Janeway? She seriously has a problem, because think about it. All I would have said was, well, I gotta give it up to Q. I guess I could handle that. Even I would give it, if I was a captain, and Q was seducing me, I would give it up to him if I can get my ship home. Well, okay. Does that make me a man slut? I don't know. But still, even though I'm just not interested in John Delancey, I don't like his gray lips. You ever see that? No, serious. Listen to me. Listen carefully. Watch any episode of Q in the Next Generation and look at his lips. Maybe you've never noticed it, but they painted it gray of some kind. It's gross. So, all she had to do was just give him a night of, imagine what it would be like with the Q. Anyway, so she gave up the opportunity of a lifetime, and that could have got her crew home. So how about a macrovirus? Do you know what a macrovirus is? Probably one of those super viruses that can kill the entire city. Only this one is these ugly freaking creatures. This is called macro.
Armed.
This is Captain Catherine Janeway of the Federation Starship Voyager to anyone within range. My ship has been seized by unknown life forms. Require any and all assistance.
Afraid. By this time tomorrow, there could be thousands.
We don't have much time.
Alone.
Hurry. Put your own table.
Neelix!
Captain Janeway faces the fight of her life. On the next Star Trek Voyager.
They interrupted what I was saying was this one was called Macrocosm. And they start out of these little tiny insects that just buzz around. And when they get you, boy, they get you good because they grow up like instant quickness. They are very quick growing. And then when they become into this macro thing, they start taking people. Wasn't sure I understood why. Why didn't they eat them? Why were they assembling all the people into the mess hall? The doctor and Janeway come back from a shuttlecraft mission, if I remember correctly. And again, I have said it for 2 years now. Don't go on a runabout, because either something's going to happen while you're on the runabout, or you're going to come home to find something's happened. So stay away from the runabouts. And Captain Janeway gets to, you know, take off part of her uniform. Okay, guys, were you as turned on by Captain Janeway as I was? Seriously, be honest. Were you? Because she was looking kind of snazzy. Next one is called Fair Trade.
From this impasse,
it's thousands of light years wide.
There is no turning back.
Then we'll have to go through it.
From one last reprieve,
this station is a dangerous place.
There is no easy way out.
There's been a murder aboard the station.
From the shadows of death,
we have to tell the truth.
There are no more secrets.
You two are under arrest.
What's the charge?
Murder. Star Trek Voyager.
Murder! Wasn't the guy, I think the guy's name was Wixapon. Where do they come up with these Talaxi names? Wixapon and Neelix. Wixapon is trying to secure some warp plasma so he can secure something else, and gets Neelix involved, and there's a murder on board the station because of it, and Neelix almost gets caught. Did Neelix suffer any consequences, really? I don't know. Maybe he was in the brig for a day or two, and then that was it. So, number 14 of Season 3 is called Alter Ego. I don't remember this. Let's hear.
In a place where dreams become reality,
Marina is an intriguing interactive hologram,
and imagination can run wild.
We're alone now. We can do whatever we want.
Something will go wrong.
You can't just delete me!
That will turn fantasy.
He has control over the holodeck characters.
Into a fatal attraction.
What do you want?
I want to rock, or I'll destroy your ship.
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
Ensign Kim, the poor Ensign Kim that couldn't get a girlfriend if he bought one, finally gets a girlfriend on the holodeck. But Tuvok swoops in with his subtle points of logic and takes over the relationship. And, of course, Kim gets very, very, very jealous. And as it turns out, he shouldn't be, because really, that beautiful woman on the holodeck was one but ugly woman on a space station. She just wants Tuvok. That's all she wants. Just, you know, she wanted to live long and prosper. That's what she wanted. There's nothing wrong with that, was there? Does Tuvok get away? Of course he does. He runs like the Vulcan. CODA.
Made worse than death.
Catherine! Catherine!
Is dying again.
The captain's dead.
And again.
We have, in fact, lost Catherine Janeway.
But these fatal encounters are just the beginning.
Something strange is going on here.
Of a terror which will never end.
If you know what's going on here, tell me.
Isn't it clear? You're dead.
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
Well, I sure hope that when I get close to death, that my dad doesn't scare the snot out of me by coming to me like that. Captain Janeway and Chakotay. See, here we go. They're on a shuttlecraft trip. And they encounter some strange phenomenon in which they crash land on a planet. She dies. They're back talking about Talent Knight and Captain Janeway doing the dying swan over and over again until finally she dies for the last time, supposedly. And her dad wants to take her into the light because it's beautiful and peaceful and everybody loves each other there. But that ain't true. It's not her daddy. She says, "Go back to hell, coward." I'm not going to say that to my dad either. I tell you something. Though, since he's died, I have had him... I know this kind of sounds hokey, and I probably shouldn't bring this up. But I've had him come to me in my dreams twice to guide me. I almost think that either it's your subconscious telling you what you want to hear, or that they're... The soul of the dead is actually coming back to guide you in some way. And maybe in your dreams. And so, you know, I've had a couple decisions I've had to make in life, and I made them. Have you ever had a dream when you know you're dreaming? I mean, I believe Chakotay called that a lucid dream. And Chakotay knew he can guide, you can guide the dream. Well, I've had that happen. Strange things have occurred since I moved into my new house. Number one, every dream I've ever had that involved a house involved my childhood house. I'm still living there for some strange reason. But I know I'm dreaming. And so what I do is I'm in the basement and I run upstairs to the top level to talk to my father, who's in his room playing on his computer. And that's where I ask him my question of what it is I want to ask him. And he always answers. And it's so bizarre. A couple times I knew I was dreaming. And to prove it, I ran out of the house in the snow with wearing nothing. Of course, I wasn't cold because you don't really feel anything, I don't think, in your dreams. But I was able to run up the street, and I was running toward this girl's house for some strange reason, and I knew I was dreaming, and I was trying to run to the house before I woke up. But I didn't make it. Lucky her. So anyway, that's where this whole thing comes about for number 15, and I don't know if it was called just CODA or CODA, but Captain Janeway keeps coming back to life and then finds her father, and she fights it. So now, here's the question. When we die, have you ever heard people talk about the light? And so if we fight it, will we stay? That's a curious question. Well, I don't draw those kind of philosophical answers from Star Trek, believe me. But it still is a posing, interesting question to pose. So let's go on to the next one. This is called Blood Fever.
Sometimes love...
I am proposing marriage.
...can drive men wild.
Even a brief moment of bonding may disrupt her self-control.
And drive women...
You've wanted this for so long.
...even wilder. But a love triangle...
You are my mate!
...could turn both sexes...
They'll tear each other to pieces!
...into killers... ...on the next Star Trek Voyager.
Ensign Vork is going through the pond far. And who has he chosen for his mate? None other than B'Elanna Torres. Why not? I mean, if you're a horny Vulcan, wouldn't you choose a horny Klingon? I would. But, so, he bites her. And, of course, he gives her this blood fever. And what's the result? I mean, what's the cure? Somebody has got to help see her through this. Any volunteers? How about Paris? He kind of likes her anyway, so he'll go ahead and do this dance with her. Now, the fight scenes and the dance scenes, I mean, they were just basically choreographed. It was pretty impressive, actually. And you gotta watch the behind-the-scenes thing about that particular episode, and where they talk about how they try to place light in certain ways to be able to see each other. He helps her through this. Why can't Vork just go to the holodeck, maybe run the Ryza brothel program, and get it over with? I don't understand that part. Unity is next.
The Borg assimilated them.
Our link to the collective was severed.
But fate set them free.
It was like waking up from a long nightmare.
Now Chakotay's life rests in the hands of the enemy.
You want to hook up my mind to some Borg collective?
Once he's given up control...
Hear our voices. Open your mind to our thoughts.
There's no turning back on the next Star Trek Voyager.
Of course there's turning back. You can turn back. You can just solve the situation. You don't have to worry about it. So Chakotay gets recruited into this little collective because they need help breaking their own collection. And so they recruit Chakotay to help. And this was, of course, before Seven of Nine comes on. And basically Seven of Nine has almost another episode similar to this one. And, of course, they take over Chakotay's mind as he's, again, on a shuttlecraft. He's on a shuttlecraft with B'Elanna. He ends up shooting her because they took over his mind. They got him away. They saved the day. Let's go on to the next episode, this one. How do you like that? How do I just get past it if I don't really know it? Because I don't quite remember it. It wasn't impressive enough to remember. This one is called Darkling.
The good doctor...
Have you been messing around with your program?
...is about to become...
Who are you?
The new master of the emergency medical holographic program.
The mad doctor.
What have you done? I can't move my legs.
I've paralyzed you from the waist down.
With a prescription.
I fear nothing. No one.
For pure evil.
Nowhere to go now, doctor.
Nowhere but down. On the next Star Trek Voyager...
has got the hots for Kes. Well, don't you? And Kes is interested in another guy, so that increases the doctor's jealousy. Jealousy is a big one, isn't it? So he tries to kill the other guy. Now, what happened to the doctor? Some alien influence came over the doctor, which causes him to go through all this, because he doesn't really remember it, I don't believe. I don't think he really set out to do this. And, if he can't have her, no one can. And that's what that last little... No! Doctor takes Kes and jumps over the cliff. And as they're falling, the transporter beams them up. How's that for cool? So the transporter can beam them up from a free fall, but yet there are certain situations when a shuttlecraft is the only means of transportation. Let's go on to Rise, number 19.
A world in distress.
That asteroid should have been vaporized.
We haven't time to evacuate all those people.
A catastrophe in the making.
Time to impact.
Approximately 2 hours.
From the planet's surface...
Get away or I'll kill him!
...to the skies above...
Battle stations.
The real danger is hiding in the shadows.
I have a feeling these asteroids aren't striking your planet by chance.
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, no. See, that's another alien world's way of... taking over a planet is by sending asteroids to just have to destroy it, and that makes the people want to get the heck off, because, you know, you don't want to be on a planet that's being destroyed. And so Neelix and Tuvok beam down to this planet, and they can't beam back. So what do? They have to get on this lift that will take them up into the sky of black. Sorry. And along the way, Neelix has to disobey orders and save the day. This is another problem. You always have to disobey orders in order to save the day. That shouldn't be. Now, this next episode... what a way to die. All I can say is, what a way to die. They're cruising along, and all of a sudden they come across this ship who says, "Hey, welcome to our space. We come in peace. And Kim says, no, they don't. Arms photon torpedoes and destroys, or not destroy them, but starts a battle with them. And how did he know? Because they were arming weapons. No, they weren't. All the sensors indicate they weren't. Yes, they were. My sensors indicate they were. That his internal sensors, that is. And so, later on, it comes out Tuvok says, in fact, they were trying, or Janeway says that, yeah, in fact, they were arming phasers. But the biggest question is, how did you know? Because he was there. He's from Teresia. He's got Teresian genes. And he just happened to make his way back to Teresia. How did he even get this parasite to begin with? I don't remember if that was ever explained. But he got this thing that started to rewrite his genetic code, and he became a Teresian, where there's only one man for every five women. Again, what a way to die. So he's going to mate with, was it two or three women, and his newfound friend, who's like, you're going to love it here, Harry, until he wakes up dead one morning with his whole body decalcified because these women just parasited on him. And Kim finds him, and he's probably thinking, ha, wasn't so good after all, was it there, Barry boy? But, and of course, they have to get him off this planet before he dies in the midst of, I don't know, do you want to call it ecstasy? I mean, what a way to die. Can you imagine dying with, never mind. I don't believe I should really go any further than that. Not keep it family-friendly, that is. Let's go on to the next one, number 21. We're getting close to the end. We only got about five or six more to go. This one is called Before and After.
Imagine opening a window to the future.
Where am I? What is this place?
Then traveling backwards in time.
It's almost as if you're experiencing events in reverse.
Can one woman stop the course of events?
Voyager's under attack.
To save her people from tragedy.
They're dead.
Before her time.
Cass, we're losing her.
Slips away on the next Star Trek Voyager.
Obviously, Kes is a old woman in the future, ripe old age of 7, when she starts suffering from, I don't know, I can't remember what it was called, but it's the end-of-life thing for a Okampan. And I don't know, it's something that the doctor did. He put her in this hyperbaric chamber, and it made her end up going back in time, and she just kept going back in time, and you know, the further back it got, the more hokey it got, especially when at the end of her life, I guess you could say the beginning, which is why it's been called Before and After, when she was a little girl in the Harponics Bay with her father. She goes, Dad, something's wrong. You gotta believe me. Well, who's gonna believe a little girl who's going nuts? But then she goes back further when she's just a fetus. And it just, at that point, it was just all hell breaks loose. It sucked at that point. Even if the story would have been good, and it, I guess you could say it was kind of intriguing, once they got her back in the womb, it was just kind of pathetic. Because then, you know, you hear the heartbeat, everything, and all the chromosomes start going down to the one cell, and then it's like an explosion or something, and then it reverses, screw, 4, 8, 16, and then it goes on and on and on, and then she becomes herself again, and I don't know, there was just something that, it just seemed like a hokey episode. But the next episode, all I can say is, Doctor, take a bow. This was, like, one of my most favorite episodes, and we've done a commentary on this one a while back. And I think the first season of the Lou Trek Show. I'm talking about these as seasons. The Doctor is experimenting with creating a family. He wants to see what it would be like to create a family. So what does he create his family on? The Brady Bunch, where everyone is perfect. Cookie-cutter kids. And yes, Father. I did my homework, Father. I'm good, Father. Oh, thank you. I love you, Father. And B'Elanna almost throws up in the holodeck because she cannot believe that this is what he thinks real life is like. Let's watch the trailer and I'll tell you more. Or let's hear the trailer.
Without warning, it strikes.
Something ripped it apart.
Without feeling, it kills.
There are 60 scientists on that station.
Then, without a trace, it disappears.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Now, a force of pure destruction.
Race for impact!
Can only be stopped.
It's pulling me in!
From the inside out.
Hang on!
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
You know, either that was the wrong trailer, or they're talking about the subplot when Paris goes into this vortex and the doctor gets angry about it because, you know, you're just playing with danger. I have a son who could do the same thing. That's what he tells Paris. So I think, you know, obviously there were two plots to this episode. And the doctor creates his holographic family, which B'Elanna tweaks a little. Now the son is psychotic, hanging out with his Klingon friends. He's going to draw blood to become this Klingon's blood brother or something. And the daughter, who's playing Parisi Squares with kids way older than she is, ends up getting so badly hurt that in the end of this episode, she dies. And I tell you, you know, this was an amazing episode. I think Bob Picardo batted this one way out of the park and hit a parked car's window with the ball on this one because, you know, he tries his best at real life and he miserably fails at the beginning, but in the end comes through and, you know, helps guide this little girl to death. And, you know, he can't just reboot her and start over again, so he plays the whole thing out, you know, when Kes tells him, or was it Harry? Who was it that was... I think it was... No, it was Tom. Excuse me. Tom was in sick bay because he got banged up a little bit in the shuttlecraft. Shuttlecraft! Anyway, Tom is banged up and he's telling him about, you'll never understand what happens. You'll never know what happens to your daughter or your son if you don't follow through. And he does. And I absolutely was in love with this episode. It's, I think, one of the best ones that not only Trek did, but certainly was one of the best ones that Bob Picardo did. Because it was great. Anyway, let's go on to Displaced.
One by one, they disappear.
Harry?
Side by side, they are torn away.
In the last 3 hours, we've lost 22 of our people.
Moment by moment, the danger intensifies.
Our entire crew will be gone in 18 hours.
No one is safe.
The captain's gone.
No way to escape.
I don't think this is a wormhole at all.
No end in sight.
Chakotay, to anybody who's left, please respond.
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, see, this is what I said back along the first couple of episodes of this season. Anybody and everybody can take over the ship anytime they want to. So, a couple crew members, it was Tom and B'Elanna fighting with each other because that's what they do best. They were walking along a corridor and all of a sudden this alien shows up. They don't call for intruder alert, no, they welcome him. Here, don't worry, we'll turn down the lights and we'll heat it up for you. Oh, by the way, where's Kes? Nobody knows. She didn't show up. And one by one, each crew member is being replaced with these aliens. And how many crew members did it take before they realize... Oh, wait a minute. No, they never did realize that the aliens were the ones behind this until they ended up on the second other side where more aliens were there to greet them and take away their comm badges. So, slowly the crew is being replaced. What a way to take over. I think the Borg could learn something from the way these aliens were doing this. So that was called Displaced. We're down to a couple more. Here's another one I really thought was kind of cool. This was number 25 called Worst Case Scenario.
It starts with a whisper.
Are you saying there's going to be a mutiny?
Becomes a conspiracy.
Saskia, what's going on? Move it.
And ends.
Let's do it.
In the ultimate act of betrayal.
You'll never get away with this.
When rebels take control of Voyager.
You'll be part of a crew that's going to do whatever it takes to get us home as fast as possible.
Can anyone stand in their way?
You've just threatened the wrong woman.
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
B'Elanna is trying to erase old programs that aren't worth anything in the holodeck memory, when she comes across this whodunit thing of a mutiny aboard the starship back in the first season that, you know, Tuvok wrote this thing kind of to train security officers on how to handle a Maquis mutiny because he assumed it was going to happen. And when it didn't happen, he figured that there was no need, so he erased it, or so he thought he erased it. B'Elanna comes across it, runs the program, plays it out, and of course the whole thing, it spreads like wildfire. Everybody's trying it. Neelix even gets in on it. The Doctor gets in on it. And they all find out what Chakotay is up to, that he's going to take over the ship. It was an amazing whodunit mystery. I did like that one, actually. So, and that's going to take us to the last episode of Season 3. And this is where 40 of Triple D, excuse me, 7 of 9, comes on the ship. Well, this wasn't exactly where she came on the ship, but let's hear Scorpion.
In the heart of darkness.
My God.
In the eye of the enemy.
More bodies. Dozens of them dead.
Evil has a brand new face.
Who could do this to the Borg?
Their only hope is the unholdable.
What if I made an appeal to the devil?
An alliance with the Borg?
Could this be the voyage of the damned?
We're making a fatal mistake.
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
Did anybody else like the Leonardo da Vinci holodeck program? I thought it was fascinating. I liked the guy who played Leonardo da Vinci. And, you know, while I'm thinking about it, I'm going to go to Memory Alpha here. And I'm going to take a look at who played Leonardo da Vinci. Either he was an older man, or they actually just made him that way. But anyway, this is where Species 8472 comes into play, because the Borg try to assimilate Species 8472. Oops. Bad boys. And now they have to try and fight them. And so they make an alliance with the Borg, which gives us 7 of 9. Leonardo was played by John Rhys-Davies, who is actually age 66, so we'll be talking about him on the future Trek birthdays. And, you know, he's still alive. Boy, wouldn't it be fun to actually get him on the show? He's a strong British actor. He's, let's see if they have anything about where he's currently living. But he's from Wiltshire, England, so I'd sure love to get him on here, actually. But, so anyway, Janeway makes a pact with the Borg in order to fight Species 8472. And let's go ahead and do the Part 2 trailer, just to end it.
At death's door.
We're going to war.
The crew must make a deal with the devil.
We have an alliance, do we not?
At the gates of hell.
They said your galaxy will be purged.
Keep your friends close.
We will not be assimilated.
And your enemies closer.
This alliance is terminated. Resistance is futile.
On the next Star Trek Voyager.
You can't make an alliance with the Borg. They'll screw you every time. That's just the way that is. And so, once Species 8472 scurries back to fluidic space, of course, the Borg's true nature comes shining through, and they try to take over the ship. But they are stopped. And the ship, let me think, was the ship, yeah, I think the ship was destroyed, which is why the group of Borg came over onto Voyager. And now they dwindled it down to 7 of 9, tertiary adjunct of Unimatrix 01, who You know, what are they going to do? Deposit her on a planet and let the Borg come back and get her? She is human. So they try to reassimilate her back into the human life. And, of course, we all know they succeed. Sort of. I mean, there we go again. She takes over the ship how many times and tries to go back to the Borg? She tries to kill the crew how many times? Tries to assimilate them? Tries to get them assimilated? But Captain Janeway doesn't give up. She makes her human again. And that was Season 3 of Star Trek Voyager. I want to thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. And Brian, boy, I hope you'll get better soon if you're not feeling good or whatever the case may be. I don't understand why you don't remember what we're doing. Take care, everyone. Check out MyQualityGifts.com and support Bob and the show. Good night.